Just, we thank you so much, Lord. God, your mercies are new every day, and your grace is immeasurable. Your love is immeasurable. You're immeasurable, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and lay our burdens down before you. No reason to live in shame. No reason to carry guilt. Oh, we thank you, Father God, for the work that you're doing. Oh, we lift up our brother Bob and we say, as his daughter said, thy will be done. Just pray that you would give him strength. For Robbie's neighbor, Lord, who's dying of cancer as well, God, that you would just reveal yourself in a mighty way. God, we thank you that you are sovereign, that you're in control, that we can trust you will not the God of all the earth do justly. God, we pray for your word this morning, that you would open our hearts, our minds, that we would receive all that you have for us. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, Lord, not man. You may use man in the foolishness of preaching, Lord, but ultimately it's your Holy Spirit that teaches and deposits the word within our hearts and our soul. We thank you for this awesome book of Matthew, and we thank you, Lord, that it reveals so much of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory. We praise you, Lord. We know that you are in this house, Lord. We can feel it in our spirit. We know it in our hearts. We see it with our eyes of faith. And now, Lord, we come to you for the meal that you have prepared for each one of us, Lord, that we could receive it by your Holy Spirit. We won't fail to give you all the honor and all the glory. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, please. The last two Sundays, we looked at tradition versus truth, how the Pharisees were so stuck in their tradition that the very washing of hands became a stumbling block. Last week, we looked at crumbs of mercy, and the crumbs of mercy were from the Syrophoenician woman who asked the Lord to heal her daughter, who was demon-possessed, a heavy burden upon her mom, and yet she knew that if she could just get to the Lord, that the Lord could heal her daughter from a distance without seeing her. Without knowing the address, but obviously he knew where she was. But nobody around knew. And when he said, you can't take the food from the children, meaning the children of the Jewish nation, she said, no, Lord. She agreed, no, I don't want their food. But even the dogs can get the crumbs that fall from the table. And for her, when the Lord said, I have not seen such great faith, he said to her, she had great faith. Because they were crumbs of mercy for her. We need to begin there. It's interesting how many things can distract from seeing Christ. There's things in churches that distract from seeing Christ. Tradition, obviously, is one of them. But there's so much more. That's why we can teach Bible. Listen, if that's what God called me to do is to teach the Bible, then I would be exegeting the word. I have all the Greek words. I took 1 and 2 Greek in Bible college, so you know what? And I flunked English in high school. You go figure. I learned more English in Greek class, I think, than I did in high school. I finally figured it out. I'm like, oh, that's what all that means. But that's not what God called me to. Are we going to learn the Bible? You are 100% absolutely going to learn the Bible. But that's not our goal. The goal isn't being able to exegete all these words that even the Greek scholars don't agree on. What would be the point of that? And again, if anyone wants to do that, let me know. I'll give you my books, happily. The Lord has called us to know His Son. And the only time there is no division in the body of Christ is when we're focused upon His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's complete unity in that. When we look at the scriptures, it's easy to nitpick and look at the things that cause division. The Bible has caused more division, doctrine has caused more division than anything else. Oh, well, you don't baptize that way. Oh, you think you're going to be baptized and be a member of the church? Oh, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, you don't speak in tongues. Well, how come you don't speak in tongues? Well, you have to speak in tongues, otherwise you're not born again. And we nitpick and we divide and we think that everyone is supposed to believe what we believe. And there's plenty of that going on in Christianity. Not here. Not here. The focus is Jesus. The focus has always been Jesus. The focus always will be Jesus, and it will be nothing but Jesus. And again, I say this not to chase you out of the church. I hope you all show up next week. But if you need more than Jesus, this isn't the church. Because I got nothing more than Jesus to give you. If we need more than Him, we sing these songs. I said it Wednesday. We try to focus all the songs on Christ, on Him. God is in this house. No, we're in the house. No, God is in this house. Because we're here, God is here. When nobody was in this building, was God here? Yeah, He's everywhere. He was waiting for us to come. But when we came in, we were all of our light shining. We became an inferno. And that, my friends, will chase the enemy away every time. Amen. Every time. It's what the Lord is doing. We're going to look at another story again in Matthew in chapter 15, starting in verse 32, the feeding of the 4,000. Well, He just fed 5,000 a few chapters ago. And here He is now, He's feeding 4,000. What's the significance? It's amazing. Some of the comments actually think it was the same. It was so not the same thing. I mean, Jesus says it wasn't. He said, remember when I fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves? And then I fed the 4,000 with the 7. You remember, right? Yeah, we remember, Lord. We remember. Show us what we need to see, though, Lord. Show us what we need to see. Let's read the account. Starting in verse 32, chapter 15, it says, and Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, I love this. He said, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days. What do you think that sermon was like? 3 days. You all complain when I go? No, nobody complains there. When I was in New Bedford, they complain. They get whiplash looking at the clock behind them. What? It's a half hour. Is he still going? They're praying that I run out of breath. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. All right, I'm sorry. He says, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. The disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves? Again, two chapters ago, come on. You must have remembered. They said, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They weren't stealing the kids' lunch. They were like, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven and a few small fish. He directed the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish, and given thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Verse 37, it says, and they all ate, I love this, and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces. That's what I titled this message, Broken Pieces. Seven large baskets full, and those who ate were 4,000 men besides the women and the children. And then verse 39, and sending away the crowds, Jesus got into a boat and came to the region of Magadan. Listen, Jesus, this group of people, 4,000 plus, he was still in Gentile territory. They were Gentiles. A Gentile is a non-Jew. The book of Matthew is written to a Jewish population to reveal Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But because they rejected Jesus as a nation, as a leadership in chapter 12, Jesus now was going to the Gentiles. Thus, the Syrophoenician woman who desired that the Lord would give her some of the crumbs that fell from their table. They don't just get crumbs here. The 4,000 plus is showing up. They're getting a meal. They're getting the bread. They're getting the fish, and the Lord is providing it for them. And the picture here is Jesus is saying to the Jewish population as well as the Gentiles, in his kingdom, there will be both. There will be no division in the kingdom of heaven. There will be Jews, there will be Gentiles. There will be men, there will be women. There will be slaves and there will be freemen. They will all be free at that time. But the mix of people that will be there will be no division among them. For the Jews of this time, this is unheard of. This is unheard. You would have had to become what they called a proselyte, which means that you would have to follow the law, you would have to go to temple, and you would have to basically be a Jew in order to know that you're part of the kingdom. Jesus comes and says, no, 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 that's not the way this is going to work. It's not the way this is going to work. Even the Gentiles, I think, knew, because they were living in that area, the things that God had done. Listen, he rained manna down from heaven every day for 6 days. On the sixth day, he gave them twice as much so that they, on the Sabbath, didn't have to go out and pick up any manna. Was this difficult for the Lord? There were a million people. There wasn't 5,000, 10,000, whatever the numbers were. There was a million people that God fed in the wilderness. So easy we forget, you know, just how great the Lord is. The miracles that the Lord has done. And we get passive about it sometimes. Or we're in a situation and we think, well, God did that, but will he do this? If it's his will, he will. I guarantee you 100%. If it's God's will, he will. Has God healed people with cancer? Absolutely. There's people in this church that had cancer and don't have it anymore. Has God delivered people in other ways, delivered us? The number one thing is he delivered us from our sins in one day. There's nothing God can't do. Nothing he can't do. The Lord caused the people to be ready to sit down on the ground for their feast of grace. That's what that was. Can you imagine? These are Gentiles. This is Jesus the Jew, the rabbi. He's teaching the people for 3 days. For 3 days. Listen, I've gone to conferences, to Bible conferences, and there were 5 messages, and they were over the span of 3 days, but it wasn't 3 continuous days. It wasn't like, you know, in the morning we get up and somebody shared until we went to bed, or lunch, we ate a lot there, lunch and then dinner, and then at night, and then you check out, and then you wake up and you do the same thing. I'm thinking that's what happened here. They stayed, and hunger was not an issue. It was to Jesus after 3 days. He had compassion. I don't want them to faint if they walk away. They did eat and were filled. Those whom Christ feeds, he fills. When you come to church with a hunger and a desire to hear from God, to receive from God, I promise you, I guarantee you that you will be filled. That's God's ministry. That's not my ministry. That's his ministry. You will be filled. With Christ, there is bread enough and to spare. Supplies of grace for more than those who seek it. He manifested his power in Godhead and proved that he is Messiah in fulfilling what had been prophesied of him. Isaiah 35:5-6. It says, then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, for the waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. We've seen the same thing in Isaiah 61. His greatness is unsearchable. It's unfathomable. We cannot possibly receive all that the Lord has or does. We can't. It's impossible. The Lord once again just feeds through his own hands. I love this in verse 37. It says, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets filled. These are not the same baskets that were filled in the 12 baskets before. Those were baskets that the Jewish people would actually carry with their supplies in them. They were a little smaller. They fit. It was like a backpack. And they would just put it around their shoulders, and that's what they would use, you know, to accommodate their needs for the day. These baskets were the same kind of basket that they brought the Apostle Paul down the wall when he was being persecuted. And they lowered him in a basket. So it's a basket big enough for a person to fit in. They filled 7 baskets full of pieces, broken pieces. Kind of look like crumbs. God will always provide the abundance. The abundance. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So the Lord didn't just feed 4,000 people. Has everyone satisfied? Everyone satisfied? Okay. End of story. No. 7 baskets of broken pieces. The number seven is frequently used to express totality and completeness. And some say perfection. Jesus is able. We don't need to worry. He's able. He's able. As in the miracle of the 5,000, the miracle took place through his hands. Listen to Psalm 104, verse 27 and 28. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. They all, you know who all is? That's all. That's everything that ever had life. Verse 28, it says, you give to them, they gather it up, you open your hand, and they are satisfied with good. The bread, it's Christ. It's spiritual as well. It's spiritual for you and I. The church. You know what I noticed? That the seven baskets were left over, broken pieces, crumbs. It's in the basket. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Because they're not mentioned again. You want to know why? Because the church is still feasting on the seven baskets. It says in verse 7 of chapter 16, it says that they didn't bring any bread. You had seven baskets full. Why didn't you bring it? It wasn't for them. It was for us. That's the crumbs of grace. God had to open their ears to hear his word. They're Gentiles. God had to open their ears to hear. God had to give them the hunger. Not for the physical food, that's just a picture. For the spiritual food. We don't come to church to eat physical food, but we leave filled. How is that? Because it's spiritual. It has to be. Watch this. Chapter 16. Broken pieces. It says the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up. Now remember, Jesus jumped in the boat. He went to the other side of the lake. He went to the other side of the lake. You know why? Because he knew these guys, these rascals, were going to confront him. So he went there just for that. You think Jesus wasn't confrontational? It says they came up and testing Jesus. That's always a bad idea. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. No, don't just reproduce food. Give us a sign from heaven. Maybe they wanted fire to be called down from heaven. Maybe they wanted some lightning bolt to come down and strike somebody other than themselves. They wanted a sign from heaven. Give us a sign. Like you didn't see all the people that were just healed on that mountainside? Are you kidding me? The lame were jumping up and down? How would that affect you if you seen that? If you knew somebody that was absolutely blind, they had not seen for years, and God heals their blindness. Or they're deaf, they couldn't hear. And all of a sudden they can hear every voice and every whisper. And the lame, it doesn't say they just crawled along or they finally get up on their feet. No, it says they leaped. They leaped. I love that when Acts chapter 5, when John and Peter were going into temple and the man was sitting there and he was looking for alms, which is begging for money. Peter says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we freely give. Now in the power of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And a man leaped. That's a jump for joy. You realize, God, I don't know how decrepit he was and how that ailment affected him, but I'm sure if he was crippled, maybe his feet were all messed up. I don't know. But whatever it was, God totally healed him. Because God doesn't go halfway. God fills and does above and beyond. So I'm not just going to heal you so you can push along your wheelchair or you can walk with a cane. No, you're going to leap. God doesn't heal us from our sin and cleanse us from our sins half-heartedly. No, he said, not just today's sins, because that'll be full enough. That'll fill a basket. But not just today's sins. He says, all your sins in the past. Oh, and by the way, all your sins in the future. That's above and beyond. It would have been nice if we could bring a sacrifice and said, here it is, Lord. And the Lord turned around and said, okay, you're cleansed of your sins for now. I just live in a temple and just keep throwing more meat on the thing. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I'm just going to keep sinning anyway, so I might as well just stay here. God says, no. No. Crumb of grace. Listen, one crumb would have satisfied the 5,000. One crumb. One drop of Jesus' blood would have been enough. He's God. The blood of God, one drop would have been enough to cleanse us all of our sin. He created all of this with one word. With a word. The word of his power. He sustains it all. One word. God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need my help. He's more than capable. Verse 2, they replied to him. Jesus says this to them. When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs? Remember, they're asking for signs, the signs of the time. And then he says this, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. That's them. He wasn't holding back. He called them evil. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. They knew the story of Jonah. And he left them and went away. Let me say this about the theme in chapter 16 is faith. It runs through the entire chapter. The Pharisees had no faith. We'll see in the next text that we read, the apostles, they had little faith. The Syrophoenician Gentile had great faith. They were looking for a sign. In the margin, it says, a testing miracle. Yeah, that's the people you witness to. And no matter how much they see God's hand in this world, they choose not to. I say all the time, listen, unbelief is a choice. There's too much evidence. If you're a rational person and you just think things through and you look at the evidence of the existence of not just God, but the existence that Jesus Christ did come, lived on this earth, died, was buried, and his body never found because he rose from the dead, you have to choose not to believe that. It's like seeing something before your eyes, and you say, nope, that didn't happen. I watch Cops every now and then. Don't ask me why. But I love how they get caught red-handed. It's like, this was yours. And they go, oh, no, that wasn't mine, man. The guy had a magazine, right? Cartridge for the gun. He had a magazine. He was sitting on it. He gets up, gets out of the car. The cop says, hey, the magazine was right in. He goes, that's not mine. Like, no, you planted it there. Because, listen, even though things are right in front of us, I remember this story that it was Galileo and Plato, and they were testing gravity. And they dropped it 1 pound into 10 pounds. Thank you very much, from the peanut gallery. But they dropped me. I appreciate that. A 10 pound and a 1 pound. Everyone figured, I would too, the 10 pounds going to land first. They landed at the same time. People that literally were watching it happen said, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And that's where the unbelief of people and stuck in their tradition or in their religiosity becomes a stumbling block, and they can't see the simplicity of Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, miracles will give confirmation where there is faith, but not where there is willful unbelief. His enemies would not believe, therefore, they could not believe. They just didn't. They had a problem with Jesus. Just like your friends, when you witnessed to them after you got saved, radically saved, they had a problem with Jesus. Not with you. It's the Christ in you. Nobody needs to reject me. I'm harmless. But you should reject the Christ in me if you're going to reject me, because that's all that matters. Listen to John 12:37. It says, but though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. They didn't lack evidence. They lacked humility in believing the evidence. They wouldn't eat the broken pieces. They wouldn't eat them. Called them evil and adulterous. They were worshiping a false god, a god of their own manufacture. It was spiritual adultery. Jesus mentions the sign of Jonah. Listen, they weren't fans of Jonah. You know why? Because Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh. Are you kidding me? Nineveh? They were public enemy number one. That's why Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. You know why? Because he said, because you're going to save them, Lord. That's why. I know you. You're going to save them. So there's 120,000 Ninevites in the capital city. And the Bible says they all got saved. I love Jonah's witness. Jonah didn't go there and say, you got to believe that the sacrifices are pointing to Jesus. No. He said, 40 days judgment's coming. I would have been okay with that proclamation. He said, 40 days if you don't repent, judgment's coming. Okay. They repented. Jonah sacrificed his life for others. What a picture of Jesus there. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Then he was spewed out to become a sign. He was a sign. They were looking for a sign. Jesus said, you're not getting a sign until the sign of Jonah. And unfortunately, that would be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by then, they still didn't believe. They still didn't believe. Jesus came as the light to the Gentiles and to the Jews. Isaiah 49:6, it says, the Lord is saying this of Jesus, it is too small a thing that you, Jesus, should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. He's the Savior of the whole world, of every one of them. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile in the kingdom. That's Galatians 3:28. They're all one. They look for a sign, but Jesus reminds us the signs weren't going to convert them. It wasn't going to change their heart and their mind. Last text, verse 5 to 12, and we're done. It says, and the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. Ain't you glad they forgot the basket? Oh, we're still eating in that basket, broken pieces. Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. Oh my gosh. But Jesus, aware of this, he says, you men of little faith, of little faith. He says, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets full we picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he didn't say to them, beware of the leaven of bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Listen, the Pharisees were traditionalists. They were keeping the law. The Sadducees on the other side, they were at odds with each other. They didn't like each other. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so they came together so they can come against Jesus. The Sadducees didn't believe in anything spiritual. They didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything supernatural. The Pharisees did. They had agreement on that as far as, you know, what the scriptures taught. But they were so stuck in their tradition that they couldn't see beyond that. Jesus says to them, you have little faith. Little faith. Little faith was mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. It was when Jesus was talking about how he's going to provide all these things. 33 was, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. He's saying, listen, do I not clothe the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow? Do you not think I'm providing for you? You have little faith. You have little faith. In 8:26, when the storm and Jesus is sleeping in the hull of the boat, and they're like waking him up. They're not worried that Jesus is going to die. They're worried they're going to die. And they're like, Lord, wake up. Save us. See, you got little faith. Great faith lets Jesus sleep. And then in chapter 14, verse 31, he says it again. You have little faith. The teaching, the penetration, the corruption that they've mixed with the law. The Lord said, be careful. Watch out. Watch out. Someone said, never was there more of a period when the caution was more needful than now. The leaven of deception, the error of doctrine. We live in a time, you know, where, careful, little ears, what you hear. You know, I won't go as far as to tell you not to listen to anybody, because there are some good teaching out there, but be careful. Be careful. Christ speaks of spiritual things. We say it all the time. Don't miss the spiritual application here. Christ teaches by the spirit of wisdom in the heart, opening the understanding to the spirit of revelation in his word. How many times did they misinterpret the physical for the spiritual? Nicodemus, ring a bell? You must be born again. Well, Lord, I can't go into my mother's womb again. Nicodemus was probably 70, 75 years old. I can't do that, Lord. I love Jesus' illustration of the wind. You feel it? Yeah. Where'd it come from? No idea. Came from the north. Came from the south. Where did it start? No idea. Where does it end? I totally have no idea. But you feel it. The Samaritan woman. Lord, give me some of that water. No, you get it out of the well. It's not in the well. It's in the Savior. The Jewish crowd, when Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's too hard of a saying. Many of them followed him no more. They didn't want no part of that. He was saying, no, just come and believe. Trust me. It's spiritual. It's not physical. We're doing it this morning. Pharisees were legalists, and they taught only obedience to the law and the traditions would please God and usher in his kingdom. The Sadducees denied all of it, the kingdom even. It all comes from Jesus. If we don't see him, if we're not trusting him, if our faith isn't in him, what do we have? Religion. You have religion. We're not religious. People, oh, you go to church twice a week? Wow, you're religious. No, I'm not religious. I don't follow a creed. I follow a Savior. My faith isn't in an institution. It's in Christ. Seven baskets, broken pieces, filled with crumbs that you and I keep feasting on. If great faith is a large view of God, then little faith is a small view of God. I pray that each time that we come and we meet, that our view of Christ becomes greater and greater. That's the goal. The more you see God, the greater your faith is. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, it was good that I was afflicted. It brings you to Jesus. The Syrophoenician woman's demon-possessed child brought her to Jesus. We want to be in that place where we see him as he is. We will someday. Believers today should heed the same warning from the Lord and God against Pharisaic attitudes and temptations to take pride in man-made teaching and traditions. Once a bit of Phariseeism is introduced into the church, it can quickly spread, just like the yeast, just like the leaven. We need to feast on the broken pieces because that's grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you for keeping us close to yourself where we won't drift too far. We thank you, Lord, that the limits you have placed on us, it's because you love us. You don't want us to leave and be so lost and become like the arrogant. Help us, Lord, to continue to walk in humility. We cannot do it of ourselves. We know it comes from you. So we thank you, Lord, that you are guiding and directing and keeping each one of us. May your spirit have free reign over our hearts and minds, that we may see ourselves just walking along the way with you, always seeing you everywhere we look, everything we think. Continue to flood our minds and hearts with yourself. In Christ's name, amen.